You have your Bible, I ask you to turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. Most here can quote it, but we'll read it together and then try and preach a little bit tonight. Pray for us. John 3, 16.
Yes, sir.
Most of you are there, you know it by heart, most of you anyway. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray together. God, we come to You, Lord, as serious now, and in the name of Jesus, we thank You, dear God, for the service tonight, dear God. We thank You for each one that's here. We ask, dear God, as we stand to preach, we know, God, I've been in this long enough. I know, God, without Your presence, without Your power, God, what I would say would be a waste of time. But God, I know You can use weak and even foolish things. We ask, dear God, tonight You'd bless us with Your Holy Spirit. God, touch us. Touch our voice, dear God. Most of all, God, give us the unction from the Holy One. Your blessed Holy Spirit. God, speak to hearts if there's one here that's lost, that they might be saved. If there's a Christian that needs to be closer, God, may they also come. Bless the Word of God tonight. God, forgive us where we fail You. Use us, God, for Your honor and glory. May these altars be used. We'll thank and praise You and everything in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. John 3:16 has been called the golden text of the Bible, and it is all the Bible rolled up into one single verse of Scripture. One great preacher said this, if all the Bible were destroyed and only John 3:16 remained, it would still be enough to save the whole world. Amen. There's enough in John 3:16 to save the whole world if men will listen. And enough in John 3:16 to condemn the whole world if men refuse to listen. I'm glad for the love of God tonight. Years ago, the great evangelist D.L. Moody visited Great Britain for the first time. Over in Great Britain, they also had a wonderful preacher. His name was Henry Morehouse. They simply called him the boy preacher. He was a young man. They introduced Moody to him. Moody said, I looked him over and sized him up in my own mind. He said, he is a beardless boy. I said to myself, that boy can't preach. He said, I just looked at him. I thought he couldn't preach. And they introduced Moody to the boy preacher. And the boy preacher said, Mr. Moody, I'd like to come to Chicago sometime and preach for you. Moody said, I ignored him. And a few days later, sailed back to America. When he got back home, he got a telegram from the boy. He said, Mr. Moody, I'd like to come to Chicago sometime and preach for you. Moody said, I sent him back a rather cold reply. I said, if you're ever in Chicago, stop by and see me. He said, the next day I received another telegram from the boy preacher that said, Mr. Moody, I'll be in Chicago Thursday night to preach for you. I said, that's one way to get appointments, I guess. Moody didn't know what to do. He called his elders together. He said, now, fellows, there's a boy coming to preach. He said, I don't believe he can preach, but I suppose we better let him try. He said, I'm going to be out of town Thursday and Friday night, and I want you to let him preach Thursday and Friday. If he does all right, you announce he'll preach Saturday and Sunday. If he doesn't do all right, just close it out on Friday night. Moody returned home the next Saturday, anxious to know how the boy preacher had done. So he asked his wife, he said, how did the boy preacher do? She said, he did fine. He preached two great messages from John 3:16. And Moody said, did the people like him? She said, they liked him very much. He said, what about you? Did you like him? She said, I liked him very much. However, he does preach differently than you do. Moody said, how is that? And she said, he preaches that God loves the sinner.
Yes, sir.
Moody said, he's wrong. She said, you better come and hear him. He backs everything he says up with the Bible. Saturday night, the auditorium was packed. Moody was there. The boy preacher walked to the pulpit, opened his Bible. Said, ladies and gentlemen, if you have your Bibles, turn to John 3:16. Moody said, I never heard anything like it. Said he just started in the book of Genesis and went right through the book of Revelation, showing us how much God loved us. Moody said it was like good news from a far country. My soul just drank it in. He said, I could not hold back the tears. I did not know that God loved me so much. And Sunday night came. Moody said, the boy preacher walked back to the pulpit. Said, if you have your Bibles, ladies and gentlemen, turn to John 3:16. Preached another great message on the love of God. Moody said, I thought it was better than the night before. Monday night came. He said, it's hard to get a crowd out on Monday night in Chicago, but the auditorium was packed. Once again, the boy preacher walked to the pulpit and said, if you have your Bibles, ladies and gentlemen, turn to John 3:16. Preached another great message on the love of God. Tuesday night came. Moody said, as he walked to the pulpit, I thought, surely, he's exhausted that text by now. Once again, he said, if you have your Bibles, turn to John 3:16. Preached another great message on the love of God. Wednesday night came, the last night of the meeting. He said, every eye was upon the boy preacher as he walked to the pulpit. And when he got to the pulpit, he opened his Bible. He said, ladies and gentlemen, all day long I've searched for a new text, but I can't find a better than the old one. You have your Bibles, turn to John 3:16. Preached another great message on the love of God. Moody said, as the boy preacher closed the service that night, He said this. He said, ladies and gentlemen, for seven straight nights I've tried to tell you how much God loves you. But with this poor stammering tongue, I've not been able to do so. He said, praise God tonight. If I could borrow Jacob's ladder, he said, I'd climb up into heaven. I'd ask Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, I'd say, Gabriel, how much does God love me? He said, oh, Gabriel would be able to say, it's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him might not perish, but thank God, have everlasting life. Praise God for his love tonight. When Moody built the great church in Chicago, he was so anxious for people to know that God loved him, that he had gas jets installed over the pulpit that spelled out God is love. When you walked into that church, the first thing you saw in fire was God is love. The world today, folks, is searching for love. Every normal person wants to be loved. Many take their own lives because many of them feel that no one loves them. I thought if we could only get to them, make them see how much God loves them. God loved them enough to send the Prince of Heaven to die that they might be saved. Doctors tell us that if a baby is not shown love and affection, it will be abnormal. Babies need love. I read a story about a little girl that was in the hospital. The doctors were baffled. They couldn't understand why she didn't get better. Medically speaking, they'd done all they could do, and she should have been better. And they couldn't understand. But they began to notice when they spent time with her, it seemed like she got a little bit better. So they realized what that little girl needed was love and affection. So the doctor wrote on her chart, this child shall be loved every 4 hours. Every 4 hours, a nurse or doctor went by and loved and showed that little girl affection. And soon she was well now in the hospital. Thank God. The doctor said, love her every 4 hours. But God's love is greater. Praise God tonight. God has said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Praise his name forever. Years ago, a little boy walked across Chicago to attend Moody's church. He passed several churches to go to Moody's church. And one morning it had snowed. A little fellow walked through the snow clear across Chicago. He passed several churches, but he passed one church. The pastor was standing out front. The pastor said, son, let me ask you something. I know that you pass our church and many other churches to go to Moody's. You walk clear across Chicago. But he said, this morning it snowed. Why would you pass our church and a lot of other churches to go to Moody's church when you could go right here close? The little boy said, because they love the fellow over there. I told our church, I said, folks, if we'll get the love of God in our hearts, brother, we'll love God as we ought to. We'll love each other as we ought to. They'll walk across Tampa to get to us. Amen. They'll walk across Columbus, bless God, to get to Caneland. I understand pretty well doing that. They'll walk across Rubyville. Amen. Because folks want love. Praise God for his love. Noticing, first of all, tonight, the cause of salvation. Our text tells us that God so loved the world. When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he cried, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of God, and salvation issues from God. Brother Roloff used to say, salvation is of God. He said, God thought it. Jesus bought it. The Holy Ghost wrought it. The devil fought it, but thank God I got it. Amen. We know there are many different kinds of love. There's patriotic love. This is the love that a person has for their country. We ought to love America tonight and honor and praise God. I'll be honest, when I see the demonstrators burn our flag and somewhere the flag on the seat of their pants, it bothers me. I'd like to put my foot where the flag is, to be honest with you. I sought to respect our flag and our country, and thank God, the little country school we was raised in, we start each day with prayer and pledge of allegiance. I love America. I realize we have our faults, but we know tonight America is still the greatest nation, thank God, on the face of the earth. There's patriotic love. Then there's parental love. This is the love that a parent has for their child. How we need love in our homes today. We ought to express that love. Sad to say, I've had people tell me they never heard their mother or father say, I love you. I'm glad my kids never be able to say that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We have love in our home. Parental love. Then there's personal love. This is the love of a man for a woman or the love that we have for some other person. But praise God, I hurry on to pure love. The Bible calls it agape love or God's love. God's love tonight is pure love. Nothing is similar to it. Nothing is close to it. Nothing compares to God's love. It is pure love. God's pure love is unconditional. I'm glad for that tonight. Praise God. That is, there are no limits to God's love. God's love does not say, I love you. If God simply says, I love you, praise his name forever. His love is unconditional. There are no mental restrictions when it comes to God's love. I'm glad for that. Praise God. You don't have to have a high IQ or a high school diploma or a college graduate. I've told you before, I'm like Gypsy Smith. I'm like a little gypsy when he said, I've not been to your colleges, but praise God, I've been to the cross. He said, no bishop ever put his hand on my head, but Jesus put his hand on my heart. He said, I can't take the telescope, name the stars, but I've seen the star of Bethlehem. I've never studied botany, but I've smelled the perfume of the rose of Sharon. He said, never studied geology, but my feet are planted firmly on the rock of ages. And thank God all other ground is sinking sand. I'm glad when it comes to the love of God, there are no mental restrictions. Then there's no moral restrictions. Praise God. You can't go so far in sin, but that God's love can still reach down and save you. We know that Dr. George Truett was born in Hayesville. We have folks here tonight from Hayesville. And some of my dearest friends were in the little town of Hayesville. George Truett was born there. He pastored in Texas for over 40 years. He was one of the first preachers to use the radio as a means of getting out the gospel. And they carried their radio broadcast from 11 o'clock to 12 live on the radio. George Truett had a lady in his church that was a nurse. She sat with dying people. And so many times she had to work, and she'd take her radio to work with her in every opportunity. She'd listen to the broadcast. This dear lady was sitting with a woman that lived a very wicked life and was near death. And she told her, she said, my preacher will be preaching at 11 o'clock. Would you like to hear him? And she said, I'd be glad to hear him. Boys, since she turned on the radio, Dr. Truett preached that morning. I'm telling you, he's plugged in. God blessed him to preach. Preach from Isaiah 1:18 that says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Well, that woman got under conviction. She said, I wish that man would come and pray with me. The lady called Dr. Truett at the church. He said, I'll be there in a short while. Got in his car, drove across town, that little rundown house, knocked on the door. The nurse ushered him in, took him into the bedroom where that woman lay near death. Dr. Truett took his hat off, reached down his hand, said, hi, ma'am, my name is George Truett. Quickly, she put her hands under the covers. She said, I can't shake hands with you. My hands are dirty. She said, I've lived a wicked life. You're a great man of God. I can never shake hands with you. Oh, it broke his heart. He said, listen, ma'am, God loves you, and Jesus shed his blood that you can be saved. You'll call on his name. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll wash you in his precious blood. He'll save your soul. He said, I'm going to pray. And as I'm praying, said, I want you to pray with me. I want you to ask God to save. Well, Dr. Truett began to pray. As he prayed, the Holy Spirit said, quote Isaiah 1:18. Praise God, that great man of God quoted Isaiah 1:18 again that says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though it be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Boy, when he said that, she pulled her hands out from underneath the curtain. She said, shake hands with me. He said, thought your hands were dirty. She said, no, bless God. Just had a blood bath. Praise God. He washed me and made me as white as snow. I'm glad. Thanks be to God. Had a blood bath, folks. Praise God. He's washed me. Thank God. Made me white as snow. A few years ago, Mickey Mantle died of liver cancer. Before his death, he talked to reporters. Mickey Mantle was honest. He told them, he said, tell the young people not to do as I did. He said, God blessed me with everything and I blew it. Mickey Mantle told how he came to New York as a young man, and his teammates on the New York Yankees taught him how to drink liquor and carouse until he became an alcoholic. He said, I lost my home because of alcohol. Taught both of his sons to drink. They became alcoholics. And he said, I wasted my life. Before he died, he sent word for Bobby Richardson to come and talk to him. Bobby Richardson was an ex-teammate and a wonderful Christian. Bobby Richardson went and talked to Mickey Mantle and led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. At his funeral, Bobby Richardson told this story. He said, after I led Mickey to the Lord, I was getting ready to leave. He said, I wanted to be sure that Mickey understood about salvation, was truly saved. So he said, I said, Mickey, before I leave, could I ask you something? He said, Mickey, what if you got to heaven, at the gates of heaven, God would ask you, Mickey, why should I let you in? What would you say? He said, Mickey Mantle smiled and said, well, Bobby, I would just say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, I'm trusting in the death of Christ to get me to heaven. Praise God, that'll get us in, folks. Thanks be to God. God's love is unconditional. No mental restrictions. No moral restrictions, no material restrictions. Many of you know me here from our church. Let me say this, for more than 25 years, I drove a van or a bus through the streets of town picking up people, bringing them to our church. Mostly poor people. I brought them to church without shoes on their feet. And honestly, different times we've wept together. And good folks of our church bought shoes for them before they went home. I brought them to the house of God that slept on the streets of Tampa the night before. Brought them to our church that All they had was the clothes on their back. But you know what? God loved them just as much as they loved them, as He loved me. Thank God. Our deacon board, praise God. There's no material restrictions when it comes to the love of God. Before Mom's last illness, I called her. God had kind of whispered to me and said she'd not always be there and she'd be gone. So I told her, I said, Mom, I'd like to talk to you just a little bit. We talked a lot, but I wanted to write it down so I'd have it correct. And so I had my little talk with Mom. My mom told me how when she was 8 years old, her mother died. And they lived in Columbus. It was a large family, and they had it hard. And my grandfather went back to West Virginia. And the kids just went here and there. And Mom said, I lived several different places. She said, one place I lived, I really liked it. Said, they were kind people. They were Christian people. And said, I loved it there. But said, the lady came to me one day and said, Bonnie, I'd love to keep you, but we don't have enough food. You're going to have to go. And bless her heart, Mom packed her little bags and went on her way. Finally ended up at Uncle Jim Beard's and stayed there for the next 8 years. But my mom said this. She said, I always longed for somebody to love me. She said, a lot of times I'd cry myself to sleep at night. I missed my mom and dad. I missed my brothers and sisters. And she said, I'd cry myself to sleep. Winter time, she said, I'd put socks on my arm because I didn't have a coat to wear. I'm telling you, folks, God's been so good to us. Praise His name forever. Mom said, I grew up longing for someone to love me. She met my father, and my father was a handsome fellow. I've told you that before. I had a picture of Dad. Honestly, and my grandmother had it. I don't know where it got off to, but he had a white shirt and a white pair of pants, and boy, he was a handsome dude. Somebody said, what happened to you? I said, they say I switched at birth. But Dad was handsome, and Mom fell in love with him. Mom said, when we married, she said, I thought, well, now, my life's complete. I have someone to love, somebody to love me. Mom said, there's still something missing in my life. A year later, a doctor came in, laid a little black-haired baby in her arms, my oldest brother. Mom said, I thought, now, my life's complete. I have a baby to love, and a baby that'll love me. But she said, there's still something missing. Praise God, in October 1939, and a great revival that swept through their community. Mom went forward and received Christ as her Savior. Mom said, I found the love. Thank God I've been looking for it. Praise God forever. You've never been loved, folks, until you've known the love of God. Praise God forever. God's love. Praise God. It's unconditional. It's unmeasurable. We cannot measure God's love. It's too deep, too high, and too wide. We can't fathom it. It's unmeasurable. God blessed me with two good kids. Hoy, when he was small, we used to ask him, Hoy, how much do you love us? He'd hold his little hands out. Of course, he finally got to where he could sing. He'd sing a little song with David. How much do you love me? He'd sing a little song. And said, I love you a bushel and a peck. A bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck. Tonight we ask God, how much do you love me? God points to a lonely hill and a low rugged cross. And God says, that's how much I love you. I love you enough to send my only begotten Son to the cruel cross of Calvary. Praise God. God's love is unmeasurable. God's love is unending. Real love never dies. Song of Psalm 8, 6 and 7. It says, love is strong as death, and many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Real love doesn't die. When my sister Jan went to heaven, Mom and Dad's love didn't die for her. I think it was that much stronger. Real love don't die. God's love is unending. God's love is unmerited. We have nothing to deserve. We do nothing to deserve God's love. It's unmerited. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise God. The cause of salvation. Notice number two tonight, the cost of salvation. Our text says that He gave His only begotten Son. Somebody says salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It cost God His only begotten Son. God bankrupted the treasure house of heaven to redeem our poor souls. 1 Peter 1, 18-19 says, you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot or blemish. The word redeem was a common word in our Lord's day. Slaves were sold at the slave market to the highest bidder. They were purchased with gold or silver. One time we were enslaved to Satan and sin. Jesus came and redeemed us. Praise God. Not with gold or silver, but with His own precious blood. Years ago, an elderly black gentleman pointed as two ships passed on the Mississippi River. He said, "Look, yonder's a captain." Someone said, "Why do you say that?" He said, "Well, several years ago, these same two ships were passing on this same river, and I fell overboard." He said, "The captain saw me, and the captain leaped overboard and rescued me." He said, "Since that time the captain rescued me, I just love to point him out." Amen. Praise God. 2,000 years ago, folks, we were sank in an awful sea of sin. I'm so glad, praise God, that Jesus, the captain of our salvation, looked over the banisters of heaven, praise God, came and suffered and bled and died that you and I might be saved. Since that time He saved me, I love to point Him out, don't you? Praise God. The cost of salvation. Notice the condition of salvation. That whosoever believeth in Him, we see the scope of salvation. Notice that salvation takes in whosoever, praise God. Any and all can be saved. We're all included in God's love. God loves you tonight. In Leviticus chapter 1, we see God's law concerning the burnt offering. God said in Leviticus 1, "If your offering be of the herd, bring a bull, male without blemish, and offer it." God said you can have your sins atoned for. I read in Bible times if you had a herd of cattle, you were considered wealthy. So the wealthy could have those sins atoned for. Yeah, you say, what about the middle class? Well, God provided for them too. God said, if you don't have a herd of cattle, if you have a flock of sheep, you can bring a sheep, a male without blemish. And God said, you can have your sins atoned for. Well, what if you were poor? Well, God provided for the poor also. God said, if your offering be a fowl, you can bring two turtle doves or two little pigeons. And God said, you can have your sins atoned for. How sweet to read when Mary and Joseph came to present Jesus back to God. They offered two little turtle doves or two pigeons, praise God, on His behalf. The scope of salvation is for whosoever will. Then the simplicity of salvation. Whosoever believeth in Him. God made salvation so simple that a little child can understand it. God said, whosoever believeth in Him. In Acts 16:30, a man asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" Very plain, folks. Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Clear enough, amen? Amen. Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The simplicity of the source of salvation. Whosoever believeth in Him. I'm telling you, millions of people are trying to get to heaven other than through Jesus. They'll not make it, praise God. That's right, amen. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's through Jesus, praise God." John 14:6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 10:9, Jesus said, "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, it shall be saved. Go in and out and find green pasture." Praise God. He's the door. Not one of many doors, but the door. When Noah built the ark, God said, "Put one door in the side of it." Brother, if you was an elephant or an ant, you had to come through the one door. Amen. You ask many people if they've been born again, and they may give you an answer such as this. "I try to be a good person. Or I provide for my family. Or I try to be a good neighbor. I'm a church member. I've been baptized." Let me tell you something, folks. There's a world of folks trusting in baptism. Brother, thanks be to God. I'm saved without apology tonight. I'm not trusting in the water to get me in. I'm trusting in the blood. Praise God. When I see the blood, God said, "I'll pass over you. The life of the flesh and the blood I give it upon the altar as an atonement for the soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Praise God. David said, "Purge me and hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I," praise God, "shall be whiter than snow." Acts 20:28, "Feed the church of God of which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, which He hath purchased, blessed God with His own blood." I'm glad for the blood tonight, folks. Praise God. The blood will get us in. The blood will get us in. During World War II, a chaplain preached to soldiers going into battle. He tried to see them saved. One soldier was very difficult and tried to disrupt the services. Soon, this same group of soldiers went to the front into the heat of the battle. Most of them were killed, but this one young man who had been so disrupted in the service, God spared his life. And he came back to camp. He came to the chaplain. He said, "Chaplain, I want to make an apology to you. I'm sorry for the way that I acted." He said, "Out there in the foxhole, my friends dying around me, I realized that I wasn't so smart." He said, "I promised God that if God got me back to camp, I'd become a Christian." He said, "I want you to show me how to be saved." And said the chaplain took him into his tent and lit a lantern, got his Bible out and read to him from John chapter 3. When he came to John 3:16, he said, "Now I want you to read it out loud." Very slowly that boy read John 3:16. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son." The chaplain stopped and he said, "Son, you misread that. It's not forgotten, it's begotten. Read it again. Read it carefully." The boy started to read again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only." He said, "Sir, I was right the first time." He said, "Jesus has been the forgotten Son of God in my life." He said, "When I was growing up, I lived near a church. I never went." He said, "I forgot about him. When I went to high school and college, I forgot him there too. When I joined the service and came here this morning, I forgot him." And he said, "I promise you tonight, from this day forward, Jesus will not be the forgotten Son of God in my life." Oh, isn't it sad that so many have forgotten him? Praise God. I don't want to forget it. He's the best friend I ever had. Thank God forever. Lastly, I noticed the consequence of salvation. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We were lost and facing eternal death, but praise God, God sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins and to give us eternal life. I'm honest tonight. The older that I get, the more I thank God for eternal life. Amen. Many of our loved ones have gone to heaven.
Yeah.
In our family, my little sister Jan went first. Then Dad went home and Mom followed. But thank God for eternal life. Praise God for a place where there'll be no sickness, no separation, no suffering, no sin. I'm so glad for eternal life tonight. Brother Calvin Evans, I'm so sorry that he couldn't be here. Well, I want to tell you tonight, I say this from heart. I thank God for Calvin and Doris Evans. I'm telling you, you talk about heroes. They're my heroes. I never see them come in the church, Mom, but I get a good feeling. See that old gray-haired preacher, blessed God, come to our church. Still got the fire, praise God. He's my friend, my hero. Brother Calvin Evans gave me this little story a couple of years ago. I about worn it out, but I'll close with it tonight. Years ago in Chicago on a cold winter night, a little paper boy stood on the street corner selling these newspapers as a light snow fell. Looked down the street and saw a policeman. He walked up to him. He said, "Say, mister, you wouldn't happen to know where a poor boy could find a warm bed to sleep in tonight, would you?" He said, "I live in the alley and I sleep in a cardboard box, but it's awful cold tonight." The policeman said, "Yes, son." He said, "Do you see that two-story house down the street?" He said, "You go up to that house and ring the doorbell. Someone will answer. They'll ask you to come in. All you say is John 3:16. They'll invite you in. They'll give you a bed to sleep in tonight." The little fellow gathered his papers and quickly went to that house and rang the doorbell. Nice lady answered the door. She said, "Yes, son, may I help you?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, John 3:16. She said, "Oh, come in, son." Took him in, sat him down by the fireplace. Said, "You sit here by the fire and warm yourself while I go fix you some supper." That little fellow sat down by the fireplace. Boy, that fire felt so good. As he sat there by the fireplace, he began to think. He thought, John 3:16. He said, "I don't understand it, but it sure makes a cold boy warm." She came and got him and said, "Supper's ready." Took him in and sat him down at the table covered with food. Said, "Eat all you like. Eat till you're full, son. I'll go upstairs and run you some bath water." That little fella couldn't believe it. He sat down and ate till he could eat no more. As he sat there, so full he couldn't eat another bite. The little fella thought, John 3:16.
Yeah.
He said, "I don't understand it, but it sure makes a hungry boy full." She took him upstairs and said, "There's you some bath water. There's a wash rag and soap and a towel. There's your pair of pajamas. Get you a good bath, then I'll show you where you're going to sleep." Had a little fella gotten bathtub and soap. Boy, that water felt so good. As he soaked in that bathtub, he began to think. Again, he thought, John 3:16. "I don't understand it, but he said, it sure makes a dirty boy clean."
Amen.
Praise God. She came and got him, took him into the bedroom, said, "You're going to sleep here." Pulled down the covers, said, "Get in." Got into a feather tick mattress bed. She pulled the cover up around his chin and kissed him goodnight. Said, "You sleep good now, son." Closed the door. The little fellow lay there in bed. Looked out the window, the snow falling. He thought, John 3:16, I don't understand it. It sure makes the tired boy rested.
Yeah.
Next morning they came and got the little fellow and they said, "Supper's time for breakfast." Took him downstairs, the little fellow ate breakfast. The lady said, "Now, son, I want you to go in and sit down by the fireplace. I'd like to talk to you. She got the family Bible out and sat down. And she said, do you understand John 3:16? He said, no, ma'am. First time I ever heard it was last night when that policeman used it. She read to him from the Bible, from John 3:16. Told him about the love of God. Told him the sweetest story that the angels ever heard. There by the fireplace, that little boy gave his heart and life to Jesus. As he sat there by the fireplace, the little fellow thought. He said, I don't understand John 3:16, but it sure makes a lost boy saved. I've said before, God saved me as a little boy many years ago. I didn't understand John 3:16 then. I don't understand it all now. But I'm so glad, praise God, it made this cold boy warm. It made this hungry boy filled. It made this dirty boy clean. It made this tired boy rested. And praise God, it made this lost boy saved. I'm glad for the love of God tonight. Glad for God's goodness. Let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer.